You're listening to EPN, the ePodcast Network.
Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network, your channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and some of the world's top executives who share business strategies and insights that can all help you build your business, leading to your business success. And now, broadcasting from anywhere between Brazil, South America to Los Angeles, California, it is your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Today, we are speaking with, once again, Rachel Braun-Sherrill, Managing Partner of Spark Solutions for Growth, Vagipreneur, yes, that's what I said, and public speaker and a proud first-time author. Rachel, a pleasure to have you back with us on the program.
Thank you so much, Eric. It's great to be with you again.
Yeah, great to have you out with us once again, and I hope all is well kicking off your new year. So for starters, tell us, what is a vagipreneur and how did you decide to become one?
So I've spent most of my career building brands and businesses, either from within companies like Johnson & Johnson or consulting to them, Fortune 100 to Fortune 500 companies, ones you've heard of, as I mentioned, Johnson & Johnson, Church & Dwight, Pfizer, Allergan, you name it. And always the objective was building revenue, so finding new ways to drive revenue growth, whether it's new customers, better insights, new positioning, line extensions, so on and so forth. And what became very clear is that we had really built an expertise over time in dealing with women's products. So we really have worked on women's businesses that have affected women from the tops of their heads to the tips of their toes. Hair care, skin care, psoriasis, menstruation, fertility, infertility, pregnancy, and anything in between. And then about a decade ago, a venture capitalist came to us with an idea to run a company, or buy a company actually, that had a product that improved arousal, desire, and satisfaction for women in all ages and life stages. So basically it was a topically applied patented blend of botanical oils and extracts that improve the sexual intimate experience for women with and without a partner. And very early on in the process, a journalist referred to us as vagipreneurs, which were, you know, entrepreneurs in the vagina space, if you will. And so it's just become a shorthand, having spent now most of the last 10 years focused in building women's businesses, again, in many of the categories I mentioned, and others, to describe a person who's in the business of female health. And I say the business of female health to distinguish from the delivery of care. You know, I'm not a doctor, I don't even play one on TV, but really focused on how do we develop and fund and grow businesses that have interesting, innovative, important solutions for women across a range of female health, sexual health, and reproductive needs.
And well explained there. Thanks for that. Now, also tell us, what is orgasmic leadership? Why does it matter? And, you know, how did you come to this idea?
I do a lot of speaking and teaching on leadership and entrepreneurship. And I was in a meeting one time with a woman that I had never met before. And she said, Rachel, you know what? Everybody talks about leadership and entrepreneurship. You should talk about it in the context of the categories that you specialize in. You should talk about orgasmic leadership. And I said, love the name. But when people hire me to speak, while they want me to talk about the female health and the female sexual health and reproductive health, they like when I weave it in once I get there. They're not putting, you know, come here, the vagipreneur, on their poster or on their emails or what have you. So I kept it in the back of my mind as just a great name and something that I was going to have to figure out how to use. And then one day it dawned on me that it was a great name for a book. So that's what started me on the journey to write a book called Orgasmic Leadership, Profiting from the Coming Surge in Female Health and Wellness, in which I tell my story, but I also use stories. I interviewed 36 founders and CEOs building businesses in various aspects of female health. And what I do is identify what I think are, you know, four key areas where these companies and these leaders can be instructive in helping us look at business in a different way. So changes in technology, disruption in business models, social impact, which many of these companies are taking to a whole nother level, not just buy one, give one, but buy one and help someone figure out how to build one and sell one and create their own businesses, and changes in education. And what was astounding in this process, in addition to the fact that I got to interview people I'd had the opportunity to work with on a consulting basis, was just continuing to reinforce my interest in the creativity and the drive and the perseverance that is required, obviously, to build any business. But there are some idiosyncrasies of building a business in this space, in a category where people tend to be uncomfortable, although obviously we see in the media that people are getting more and more comfortable, but we still have a long way to go. So orgasmic leadership is about figuring out how to grow your businesses in the reality of the context that they find themselves in, which is difficult access to funding, you know, limitations on where they can advertise and what they can say, and I would call societal discomfort with some of these topics. Therefore, the discussion of the solutions is also a little bit uncomfortable. And these people, many of whom are women, are coming out boldly with a lot of experience with really life-changing solutions for different aspects of female health. And I just love being part of it.
Yeah, the passion's certainly there. I can hear it from here. Now, you mentioned your new book briefly. Take that a little further. Get into some more of the details there.
So, as I mentioned, I started it by coming up with this idea for orgasmic leadership, and I started reaching out to clients and then networks of people who are building businesses in these spaces. So, just to give you a couple of examples, new solutions for incontinence that are device-based, where people are looking at the woman across the stage of her life. So not just weakening muscles that might happen after pregnancy, but that might also happen during menopause, and finding technical solutions that say, well, we understand what's happening to a woman's body. It might be different, but we could have a common solution if we understand what's happening to a woman's anatomy. There are a whole bunch of new approaches to menstruation protection. So reusable underwear, cloth options, menstrual cups. Again, all kinds of solutions in a category that has seen essentially no innovation in 40 years, which is the menstrual pad, tampon, and sanitary protection category. And so many of these are based on an insight about what women are looking for and then supported by the technology to actually create and deliver these products. Another one that's fascinating is a new product that just got FDA approval. It's a disposable pregnancy kit, meaning you can flush it. And again, what's fascinating, it's not like there aren't pregnancy tests right now, but what this entrepreneur has figured out is that this intense need for privacy is the same whether you're a 13-year-old girl who, you know, most likely in most cultures does not want to be pregnant when she takes the test, and a woman who's been actively trying month after month, and the pregnancy test in the garbage can becomes a constant reminder of what she feels like her body is failing her. So taking this idea of different materials with different technology that obviously delivers the accuracy of doing what it's supposed to do, but being able to flush it, one, for privacy, and two, to limit the millions of pounds of waste that are in landfills every year as a result of pregnancy test components, it's a new approach, a new solution to an existing problem. And that's what's so common across these businesses, is we're finding better solutions to problems that exist. So it's not like these women and these other entrepreneurs have discovered, oh my gosh, women are menstruating. They're looking at it and saying, well, here are the solutions, here's the experience, here's how she's feeling. How can we make this better? How can we transform this experience? You know, I had mentioned about this different idea of social impact. So there's an entrepreneur that I had the pleasure of interviewing who's building an economic model for poor women in India where there is very poor access in many communities to sanitary care, even the use of private toilets, as well as sanitary protection. So in addition to creating a conversation to make this more comfortable, they're helping these women manufacture, package, and sell these products that don't just benefit them, benefit the women they're selling it to, and also create an economic engine for them to potentially break the cycle that they're in where they don't have an economic driver and a way to make a living. So much bigger, not that it's unimportant to buy a pair of shoes and donate a pair of shoes, but to the concept of buy a pair of shoes and teach someone how to make a pair of shoes that they can wear and sell seems to be an exponentially greater impact on the universe than businesses have had before.
Today we're joined by Rachel Braun, Cheryl, Managing Partner of Spark Solutions for Growth, Vagipreneur, public speaker, and a proud first-time author here on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Now, obviously, in everything you've told us here today, not only today but in past conversations, you're very busy. How are you organizing everything?
You know, some days better than others, but what I would say is the work that I do, the consulting and the business building and the strategy, is really the foundation for everything. So it inspires my speaking, it inspires my teaching, it inspires my learning, and it has paved the way for a lot of what I've done with the book. So I really at heart consider myself a business builder, and then there's other ways I have figured out how to continue to learn and to grow. But the primary focus has always been on solving business problems and helping companies grow. And the transition over the past decade or so has been from primarily large corporations, albeit working in women's-driven businesses, to funded startups in this space. So it's really, again, as they say, all about the work, and it's all about driving business results and affecting the trajectory of a company. And how do I then apply those experiences and those learnings that I'm getting to helping other people think about entrepreneurship or leadership in a new way, or potentially figure out how to advance their own leadership approach?
Lastly, what are some of the key learnings? I know you've learned a lot over the years. If you wouldn't mind sharing a few of those golden nuggets, that would be great.
Many of the people starting these companies have developed them as a response to finding a solution for a need that wasn't available in the marketplace. So they've created a solution for something that they couldn't find a solution for, and obviously identified markets where there are many other people like them. So a lot of it is based on what I would call personal passion to really provide an important solution that's been impacting their life. The second is, so I say these are different kind of leaders, and they're leading different kinds of companies. The majority of them now, not the minority, have an arm, have a set of activities, have a focus area that's about helping others. And it's not we're going to be a nonprofit. It's about we're going to use our profits to make other things better. Maybe making them better for people in another part of the world, another part of our country, people who don't have access for the things that we're selling. There's a huge interest across these companies on doing better, or at least doing no harm to the environment, as opposed to, you know, there are a couple of companies who do that. This becomes even more critical to many of the companies that I'm speaking with. And finally, what I would say is one of the overarching motivating common themes that all these entrepreneurs share is the desire to create more comfortable, more societally acceptable conversations around important topics that have to do with women's health and women's sexual health and reproduction. You know, they shouldn't be taboo. They shouldn't be uncomfortable. You know, no one's suggesting that you should have sexually explicit TV commercials during children's shows. What we are suggesting, or what I'm suggesting, is that Facebook allows you to advertise products that are about female health that are proven, that are professional, that are done according to all their standards, and not just eliminate them because they say, you know, adult content, when clearly anyone who's been on the internet knows there's a whole lot of adult content, you know, which is questionable in terms of quality or impact.
Well, Rachel, really good stuff here, and we can't thank you enough for what you do in the space and for joining us here today. Where can listeners get more information on your company, Spark Solutions for Growth, your book, and how could one be in touch?
Okay, so the easiest way is my website, Spark Solutions for Growth. They can reach me there. You can also, if you want, see what's happening with this book and download and look at the first chapter. That's the best way. And then I'm available on all kinds of social networks. It's always under Rachel Braun Sherrill or at RB Sherrill, S-C-H-E-R-L. And my email, my direct email, if anyone wants to reach out directly, which is also on the website, is rbsherrill@sparksolutionsforgrowth. And I welcome the opportunity to hear from people, to learn from people, to make a contribution, if in fact they're working on something where I might be able to be of value, and just keeping all these very important conversations going.
Fantastic. Again, Rachel, thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio. Have yourself a happy, healthy, and prosperous 2018.
Thanks so much. Always great to talk to you, Eric.
And you're more than welcome. We've been speaking with Rachel Braun Sherrill, Managing Partner of Spark Solutions for Growth, Vagipreneur, public speaker, and author. And for all the details, visit SparkSolutionsForGrowth.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Check out our new live location, as we are now streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live with a new app coming soon to accompany our live stream in the coming weeks. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks again for listening to Enterprise Radio here on the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. To subscribe for future programming, simply visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.